Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how you guys doing? Welcome to another episode of In Between the Lines. As always, I'm here with Roscoe. Today will be our third episode of our four-part series covering the start of Major League Baseball. Spring training started today, so it's basically officially back. I don't think we'll go... I think from here on, we don't go without baseball at night until the All-Star break. So that's the best news I've heard. You ready for baseball, Roscoe?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I'll keep asking that question.
Yeah.
The American League, really interesting, a little bit more interesting than the AL, in my opinion. A lot of good teams, not too many terrible teams, in my opinion, outside of maybe Tampa. If we start out with the AL West, Roscoe, how do you see the AL West finishing?
The AL West, I have the Angels, the Mariners, the A's, the Rangers, and then the Astros.
All right. I have the Mariners coming out on top, followed by Los Angeles, and then one of the top sleeper teams, even though I did not have them as a sleeper team, the Houston Astros finishing third, the A's, and Texas. The Astros is my biggest stretch I've probably ever made, like, in our baseball previews, just because they don't have the pitching. Well, at least they don't have the pitching proven yet. And besides Dallas Keuchel, who was phenomenal last year, and they traded away one of their top pitching prospects. So that's going to be a tough one, but I like what they're doing down there. But followed by Oakland and Texas last, because Texas, their pitching, in my opinion, is falling apart. I guess we'll start off with our 1 and 2 because they're both the same. What do you like in L.A. this year, Roscoe?
L.A., I feel like they have a really good lineup, especially 2-3 with Trout and Pujols. I mean, Pujols is always steady. I know he's getting older, but, I mean, he's always going to give you 25-plus home runs, 100 RBIs. They also have Calhoun and David Freese, Matt Joyce, some guys that, I mean, be productive at times, help in the lineup. Garrett Richards coming off the injury. I mean, he's going to fortify that rotation with Weaver, Wilson, and Shoemaker. I'm expecting to see Andrew Heaney in the starting rotation as well. I think this division is going to be stacked. I think each team is separated by 2 to 3 games from each spot going down. I definitely can see it going to Seattle, like you said, going into the year right now, going off of last year, what's been proven. I have the Angels winning the division.
Do you think Josh Hamilton's going to hurt them?
I wouldn't say hurt them because recently, past year or so, he hasn't been as productive as he was, and he's been off and on injured. I mean, I think they're saying he's going to come back in May at some point, but I don't expect it to hurt them that much.
And I know you mentioned Garrett Richards. You mentioned Garrett Richards, Shoemaker. First part of the question: do you see Garrett Richards coming back with no problems, and do you see Shoemaker carrying over his success from last year, not being a one-hit wonder?
I mean, first of all, with Garrett Richards, you're always going to have the question about coming off of injury. However, I think I can see him coming back. I'm not going to say he's going to come back exactly where he was, because that would just, I mean, obviously when you get injured, you're going to have some type of setback. And then for Shoemaker, I mean, he's going to have another year to prove himself to me. I wouldn't be surprised if he regresses a little, but I could see him retaining what he's done in the past year and building off of that for sure.
Yeah, I can see Richards coming back, fine, more confidence in him than someone like Jose Fernandez or Chris Medlin. Because remember, Garrett Richards, he hurt his knee covering first base.
Yeah.
So, I don't think, as long as it's not a shoulder or arm problem, I wouldn't be too concerned. You also mentioned someone I like a lot, too, Cole Calhoun. He's a very good top-of-the-lineup guy. I think this year is going to determine on the play of they're going to weigh heavily on Pujols and Matt Joyce, because Matt Joyce is probably going to be taking Hamilton's spot. He's going to be the cleanup hitter. He's going to be someone who they're going to look to hit some home runs. And
I wouldn't be surprised if that lineup gets tweaked around a little and you see at times Freeze hitting cleanup, maybe Iannetta gets moved up, Ibar in a non-hole where they have Ibar and Calhoun hitting in front of each other to put Trout at the three pretty much and Bulls at the cleanup spot. I think that's what I like about this lineup. It has a lot of versatility and you can really move around pieces.
Yeah, I think the rotation is going to be a big question mark. They don't have too many, they really don't have any guys who are going to kill you with the fastball, except Garrett Richards. Garrett Richards' average fastball sits at 97. The other guys are just location guys. So I think it's going to be difficult for him to have solid depth at the pitching spot. I know they're waiting on Tyler Skaggs to come back. He's had Tommy John last year. So we're going to have to see how that works out for him, which is mainly why I picked Seattle to finish over them. I really like how Seattle's lineup is going to be set up for this year. Your first three guys in the lineup are just guys who get on base. You got Austin Jackson, Seth Smith, Robinson Cano. Seth was a very underrated grab for them. He's going to be a platoon guy with them because he really can't hit lefties too well, but he gets on base very well. He did it last year with San Diego. So you put them two in front of Robinson Cano, who's going to have a bounce back year. And behind Cano, you have Nelson Cruz, Kyle Seager, who doesn't get enough credit for what he does. Kyle Seager is a beast. He hits lefties almost as good as he hits righties. He's played over 150 games every year of the season. Every year of his career. And then the bottom of the lineup is where it gets tough. You got Logan Morrison, Zunino, Dustin Ackley, Brad Miller. So they're not too deep down low, but where they do make up for it is definitely in their starting rotation. You got Felix, Iwakuma, who's proved himself the last 2 years to much of my surprise. James Paxton, if Taijuan Walker can get healthy, that's another top pitcher who they refuse to trade this offseason. And then, a fifth spot, which might go to Jay Happ, who has, he's a seasoned veteran. He's not going to do much for you, but he's a decent fifth starter. So I really like what Seattle has. They're in a pitcher's ballpark, and they have some really good pitchers to work in that ballpark. I see Seattle doing something this year. You had Seattle finishing second, Roscoe. What do you think is going to hold them back from not being a number one team in that division?
I think what's going to hold them back is the depth in the lineup. Like you said, once you get to the 6, 7, 8, 9 guys, it really falls off. And you got certain holes in spots with, like you said, Seth Smith not hitting lefties well. So then you got to move around the lineup and tweak with it some. But, I don't have Seattle far off. Like I said, I think this division, each separate spot from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, so on, it's separated by, you know, 2-3 games. So, I mean, I definitely can see Seattle winning the division. And like you said, I really love their starting rotation with Hernandez, Iwakuma, Paxton, and Walker. I mean, that's a solid 1-2-3-4 if they all stay healthy. Putting L.A. above Seattle, I mean, I don't really have anything holding Seattle back, but I'm putting L.A. above Seattle because of what's been proven going into this year from last year and what looking forward with I'm more of a believer in Los Angeles to win the division than Seattle right now.
Okay, that's fair. And our three and four is different as well. I guess we'll start with Oakland. What do you like about Oakland this year? Do you see them pushing enough? They almost cleaned house this off season. Since July, they lost Addison Russell for a rental of Samardzija. They lost Cespedes for a rental of Lester. And they just lost Samardzija again for Marcus Semien, who's going to be their only bright spot. And then they gained Ben Zobrist and Billy Butler. What do you see out of this team to possibly keep them in contention in the AL West? Or, what do you see out of them? And they also got Brett Lowry. They lost Josh Donaldson as well.
I mean, this team is completely new, you know, coming into this year. It's pretty interesting to see. I mean, you got a starting lineup of Chris, Zobrist, Redick, Butler, Davis, Brett Lowry, Steven Vogt, Craig Gentry, and Marcus Semien. You know, a lot of guys who have yet to prove themselves. I can see this team being a 500 team. I really like their 1-2-3 pitching staff, starting rotation with Sonny Gray, Scott Kazmir, Jesse Chavez, and then probably Drew Pomeranz and A.J. Griffin to close out the rotation. But, all I see this team really, I don't really see them contending. I see them at about 500 at best, maybe a game or two below 500. They definitely made some mistakes last year around a trade deadline, going all in to win last year, and then it kind of failed, and they lost out on all their rentals. But, I mean, this team at best, I see them at 500, maybe, you know, and if certain teams in the division like Texas and Houston do have good years, they can move ahead of Oakland, and Oakland can possibly be the bottom of the AL West. It just, I think it depends on the teams around them, but I don't really see this team contending in the AL West.
I agree with that. I don't see another pitching, the rotation either. But the thing about Oakland is, and I attest it to Billy Beane and, you know, the staff they have running the team. Every year, I really personally don't see Oakland as a team that can contend, but it feels like they just do. You know, we remember when they made the ALDS 2 years ago. Well, yeah, 2 years ago, right? Yeah.
They had an incredible second half of the year.
You know, it's just that the one thing they have for this team is they're used to playing with each other, and they did break that up. Billy Beane does believe in Moneyball. He believes in, you know, people getting on base, and he does have solid players to do that. Coco Crisp, Zobrist, Billy Butler, and Marcus Semien. I mean, Marcus Semien, he did it in the minors. But those are all guys who get on base at, you know, including Simeon's minor league stats. Those guys right there, those three guys I just mentioned, four guys, excuse me, they're going to average about a 370 OBP if Semien steps up to the plate. But I just don't see the team doing much. Their pitching rotation is really what drives me insane. Sonny Gray, who's great, but you know, he had a really bad second half of the year last year. Scott Kazmir, who at times he looks great, the other times he doesn't. Jesse Chavez, Pomeranz, Jesse Hahn, AJ Griffin still hurt. Jarrett Parker's still recovering from Tommy John. Their pitching rotation just isn't there. And in a division, you know, that has Seattle, LA, Texas, and Houston could even swing the bat a little bit. It's a division where a real good pitching rotation would help. So I just see their pitching keeping them out of it. Luckily they have a big ballpark out there, so that's going to help them a little bit. But I just don't see it with this team. But I do like the young presence they have on this team. Simeon and Lowry are both still young. You know, they can turn some things around. Simeon today, if no one noticed, went 3 for 3, 4 RBIs, 2 home runs, 1 bomb off Madison Bumgarner. So I really like Simeon. So I do expect Oakland to surprise some people, but I mean, you put it at best. I mean, maybe what, 81 and 81? I can realistically see
Yeah.
that just because of the pitching.
Mm-hmm.
What don't you like about the Houston Astros?
I mean, it's not that. I mean, I guess what I don't like about them is the pitching staff. After Keuchel,
Okay,
like you said,
agreeable.
it's just a bunch of question marks.
Bombs.
I mean, you got a
Polite.
guy who's got Selman, but I mean, you don't know what he's going to give you, and then after that, it's just, you know, question mark after question mark. I do like that
After question
lineup.
mark.
I do like that lineup, in pieces. Like, I like Altuve and Valbuena. I am a Gattis fan, but in this lineup, hitting in front of Carter, you might get those two guys on, and then it's two straight strikeouts, and Springer's got to get a two-out hit. I feel like
I think, I mean, I feel like
they got a
they're
lot of
gonna have
swing and
to.
miss guys, but they do have some guys that can put the ball on the bat and hit a little, create some runs. But really, the biggest thing with this team is the pitching staff, and we both agree on that.
They have a team that is gonna be full of strikeouts, which is gonna be really hard for them. Valbuena, Gattis, Carter, Springer, Rasmus, Jed Lowry, Jason Castro, those guys. This team is going to challenge the MLB record for strikeouts. They're going to have to change the lineup up a little bit. Where did Valbuena hit for the Cubs? Was he usually in the 4 hole, 5 hole, or was he that high as
He
he is?
was Valbuena with the Cubs was a 7-hole hitter, a 6-7 guy.
I wouldn't hit him second. You know, if I was Houston, you know, hopefully it's wrong, but you know they're gonna need maybe like an Altuve leading off with probably like a Jed Lowry, probably a Jed hitting second, Gattis hitting third, or Springer hitting third, Chris Carter hitting fourth, and Gattis at fifth. And you know their lineup is just questionable as well. You know, what is Valbuena gonna give you? What is Colby Rasmus gonna give you? What is Jake Marisnik gonna give you? You know, these guys are banking on a lot of young guys. They really need Carlos Correa to get up, and some other
The
guys,
thing
because
with
you know their lineup is hit or miss, to be honest.
Yeah, I was about to say. The thing with that lineup, I mean, they could hit, you know, 4 home runs in a ball game looking at the lineup, but then they could also strike out 15, 16 times, you know?
Yeah, it's just not. It's just gonna be what they can do. You know, they're gonna have to steal bases. Altuve's gonna give you 40 plus, but you know, Springer's gonna have to step up and steal some more bases. They're just gonna have to play small ball. And like you said, their rotation. I mean, Dallas Keuchel's the only one I really like. Scott Feldman's too old. Colin Pugh was a minor league guy who had a little Cinderella story last year and did good. So I don't really see much out of them. Brett Oberholzer, you know, Anthony Bass was a long relief guy slash closer for a little bit with them. they improved their bullpen a lot, which was interesting. Some good bullpen moves. But, you know, like I said, you know, they traded their top third base prospect and their top pitching prospect to Atlanta for Evan Gattis, which the Astros fans didn't even like, you know, and that was risky for them too. You know, that puts them in a hole as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, Houston's going to be a wild card. I feel like them, Houston, Oakland, and Texas are going to fight for the bottom three spots in that division.
You know, I didn't really understand the Gattis move when the Astros made it.
Terrible trade.
They didn't even get him to be the starting catcher. You know, I mean, supposedly looking at the projected lineups, Jason Castro is going to be starting behind the plate, and Gattis is just going to be a DH. So, I mean, not only did I not like the trade if Gattis was to start, but, I mean, how much value?
You know, we are thinking, we are forgetting, and I'm forgetting him too. I'm forgetting John Singleton, who I like. He was very, you know, last year he hit 14 home runs, but it was also his rookie campaign. He just didn't get on base at all. They're probably going to wind up putting Singleton at first, DHing Carter, and then having Gattis in the outfield. And I think it's going to be Gattis in left, Springer in right, and Rasmus in center. So I don't think Jake Mariznick's going to wind up starting on that team. But either way, it's a swing or miss team because John Singleton is going to strike out at a ridiculous amount. So either way. Texas Rangers, I just feel like when I think of the Texas Rangers, I just think of how good they used to be. This year their lineup's a little bit older. Got a few bright spots. And Prince Fielder coming back. Adrian Beltre, Leonis Martins, pretty good. Ruffin Odor, who I believe is going to shine with Profar being out. I think this is going to prove that Odor is going to wind up being their second baseman in the future. So I just don't see them competing this year because I don't think they're going to stay healthy. I don't see Chu, Andrews, or Fielder staying healthy the whole year. If they stay healthy, it's going to be really interesting because Chu, Andrews, Fielder, Beltre, Martin, Ruffin, Odor. It's not a terrible core of a lineup. So it's going to be interesting to see if they're healthy. Their pitching rotation is interesting because, you know, after Yu Darvish and Derek Holland, I don't see much in Giovanni Gallardo, Colby Lewis, Ross Detweiler is going to be in their rotation. That's insane. So I just think it's the same old song and dance with them as well. Their pitching rotation just isn't good enough. Is there anything you like about Texas, or do you see any potential with their lineup, Roscoe?
If there is one thing I like about Texas, and, I mean, I don't think they'll compete either. I'll agree with you on that. I like their lineup, though. I think they do have a nice lineup with Chu, Andrews, Fielder, Beltre, and then going down to Leonis Martin and Odor. Good core lineup. You know, I mean, they do have a hole in the outfield. But I'm a fan of their lineup. And then, like we've said in the past two shows, it's really what's holding back teams, the pitching rotation. They have a good one in Darvish. Derek Holland's a solid starter. But, I mean, Gallardo's going to a new ballpark in Texas, which is a hitter's park. So that's not going to really help this staggish projected starting rotation. I just don't see the starters really helping out the lineup. But, I mean, I think we both agree that they won't be contending for the AL West or even a wild card spot.
Yeah, there's not much for them to do out there. You know, they and I think it's devastating news about Jerickson Profar again. Did you know that Odor is he just turned 21? I found that interesting. He went through last year, he's 20 years old, so he's very young. So I mean they have a good core. How do you
and then another thing about Texas is the prospect who we had spoke about on the fantasy show.
That's why
he may be coming up and getting some DH time this year as well. So I mean Texas
or an
does
outfield
have a few
spot.
Things to look or an outfield spot. So Texas does have a few things to look out for. The future looks brighter than the right now, maybe, but definitely not going to contend this year, but some things to look out for.
Now, the AL Central, which I've been dying to talk about for a while, who do you have winning that division, Roscoe?
I have it going in this order. 1, Detroit. 2, Chicago. 3, KC. 4, Cleveland. And 5, Minnesota.
So, what do you like? And this is, I'm going to go for this straight off the top because I feel like this is the only problem with Detroit. What do you see in that starting rotation that tells you that they're going to be able to win a division?
Well, first off, I've been saying it since the beginning. I think Verlander is going to have a bounce-back year. With Max Scherzer out, I feel like he's going to have like a sense of urgency that he has to step up, at least an attempt to get back to where he was. I mean, that's going to be hard to do. But I will expect him to have a bounce-back year and to improve on his numbers last year. David Price, he's gonna be David Price. You know, he's a solid number one lefty on the mound. He's gonna be on the mound every fifth day, so he's gonna give you that. I like Anibal Sanchez, but the 4 and 5 are where I start to worry with Shane Green and Alfredo Simon. But I think when those guys are pitching, I think they can muster up some type of offense. But, I mean, the main thing that scares me is that will they be able to have good production from their starting lineup in the big ballpark? Like, how is Cespedes going to perform and produce out there in Detroit, you know? But,
is he going to – that's – I don't – I have Detroit finishing third. And I actually have them as my bus team because, honestly, outside of David Price, and even barely outside of David Price, I can't honestly tell you that any of their starting pitchers are going to be what they used to be. You know, David Price last year had an interesting year. I love watching David Price throw. I'm a big SEC guy. You know that. I love SEC everything. It's cool that he came out of Vanderbilt. I had him on fantasy last year. So I watched David pitch a lot. I know me and you watched David pitch one time. You know, last year he struggled, in my opinion. You know, his ERA was 3.59, which was, well, it was a 3.59 with Detroit, which is really high. Gave up a good bit of home runs, gave up 6 home runs and 77 innings pitched. He was just a weak spot, and Verlander struggled too. So I just don't know if their rotation is going to be able to back where they used to be. Plus, their lineup is banged up as well. You know, you got to bank on Miggy being fully healthy. Can Victor Martinez have another bounce-back year? Can J.D. Martinez continue what he did last year? I mean, was that a fluke? I don't know. Cespedes can never get on base unless it's like a home run. I mean, the guy doesn't really walk. Castellanos, can he get to where he needs to be? They have a lot of guys who really don't get on base. You know, are they going to win with Jose Iglesias being the starting shortstop? I don't know about Detroit. They worry me. They scare me. They're my bust team for the American League. So I have them finishing third. You have them finishing first. I have Chicago finishing first. And I guess I'll just say it. They are my sleeper pick this year. I know you know I'm really high on them. I just really like what they did in the offseason, you know, bringing in Samardzija. Again, they lost Semien, who's huge for them. But, you know, they also grabbed Melky Cabrera, Adam LaRoche. I mean, Adam Eaton gets on base a good bit. He'll steal you 20 bases. He's a really good leadoff, followed by Melky, Abreu. Adam LaRoche is going to be a phenomenal four-hole DH for them. Avisail Garcia from Detroit, who's waiting to break out. Connor Gillespie's and, you know, a guy who gets on base. I just really like what they're doing over there. Plus, they're probably going to have Emilio Bonifacio as their second leadoff guy. And then their rotation, you know, Sale, Samardzija, and Quintana are all sub 3.40 ERA guys. And, you know, the bottom two is going to be the only question mark, like Detroit. But I just think they have they have more upside on offense. And plus they have, like, Carlos Rondon waiting, who I'm still pretty positive is going to get a chance this year. What do you like about the White Sox, Roscoe? I know we've talked about them a good bit because you know what they're doing in the off season. What do you see out of that team?
With the White Sox, I think they're going to be a surprise team to me too. When I was actually, you know, looking at the team, I tried doing, you know, a little win-loss record projection for each team, and I only had the White Sox behind Detroit by one game. And Chicago is one of my wild card teams this year. Like you, I really like the starting three rotation. Huge fan of Samardzija, always have been. As a Cubs fan, you know, got to see him play for half the year on the north side, and then they trade him and Hamill. They get Addison Russell, can't complain. But this is about the White Sox. I mean, you got Chris Sale, who huge. I mean, this guy has the potential to be a Cy Young winner when healthy. Just really nasty stuff from him. Then you got Samardzija and then Quintana. That 1-2-3 punch right there, solid. But I really like their starting lineup. Eaton, Cabrera, Abreu. I'm a big fan of Alexi Ramirez. I thought the Mets would have tried to trade him for him, but Chicago has him. Then again, Emilio hitting in the non-hole, so you get you have Abreu hitting pretty much cleanup mound. So I'm really a big fan of Emilio Bonifacio as well. He bounces around, but he's always a guy that, you know, finds a spot on a team and produces. You got to like that if you're a fan of the game, and the managers love it as well. But, I mean, this team definitely, I believe they're definitely going to make the playoffs. I have them as a wild card, but I still have them in the playoffs.
Do you think not having, like in Cleveland, for example, they really only have one hole in their starting rotation. Do you think having that, you know, that two person hold their hole in their pitching rotation is that big of a deal? You know, having John Banks and Hector Noesi, is that big of a problem for them?
I really don't think so, because I think we can expect to see Carlos Rodon come up, and then I think that's going to leave it as one hole in the rotation. And, I mean, this lineup's good enough to produce runs and win a game when their, you know, starter does give up a good bit of runs. I think their main concern I think they went out and did something about it in off season was the bullpen. They did have bullpen issues. But I think as long as they got Sale, Samardzija, and Quintana on a bump, they have a good chance of winning. And then I expect to see Rodon up at some point in the year. They might do the same as the Cubs are probably going to do at Bryant, wait a couple weeks, get an extra year on contract, if I'm right about that. But I only see one hole in the rotation as the year goes on for the White Sox.
I agree with that. And, you know, who's to say they don't make another, you know, off-season move.
Or they trade for somebody. I mean, you never know.
Yeah, they'll probably, I guess they'll probably just roll out with John Danks. You know, I don't remember who they had last year at the bottom of their lineup. I mean, obviously, if they get into the playoffs, it's not going to be that big of a deal because then you'll just roll with, you know, those top three guys. You know, what do you like about Cleveland? You know, Cleveland's led by, you know, Corey Kluber. Michael Brantley had a huge year last year. Carlos Santana's trying to have a bounce back year. Do you like anything in particular in Cleveland? I know Buster only has them as his breakout team and says they're going to win the AL Central this year. Do you see something like that coming out of Cleveland this year?
I like their lineup. I think they have some good pieces. I can't see them winning the division because, for me, they would have to jump three teams.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's just going to be a dogfight in the NFC. I mean, the AL Central. I really like Corey Kluber. Want to see Danny Salazar fight back. And their rotation to me, I think, you know, with Carrasco and Kluber up top, pretty strong. But I'm not really a big fan of Trevor Bauer.
Why not?
If I'm wrong, correct me, but didn't he have a pretty high ERA last year? Wasn't he getting hit pretty hard?
He did. He's been improving each year since his rookie year. He really needs a pitching coach. Not to interrupt you. I'm kind of high on him. I just think he can be very good. You know, he was the third overall pick by the Diamondbacks. You know, he's a hard thrower. He's still only 24. You know, senior year of college, he struck out a ridiculous amount, had an ERA of, like, below one. He was just ridiculously dominant. He's having trouble throwing strikes. You know, when he throws strikes, he's very good. But I don't want this to be the Trevor Bauer show, but I just see a lot in Bauer. So I consider him a solid four for that team. You know, behind someone who, you know, we're both pretty high on as well is Danny Salazar. You know? And if Danny Salazar gets it straight, then Cleveland's got a lot of upside, you know. Good lineup, like you said, an underrated lineup. You know, Michael Bourne gets on base. He's going to steal you probably 20 bases now. He's a little bit older. Top prospect in Francisco Lindor, who's waiting to get the call. Carlos Santana, Michael Brantley is going to be a solid three-hole for that team. You know, they got Brandon Moss from Oakland, power guy. Yan Gomes is always great. Jason Kipnis, if he can battle the injuries. So not a terrible lineup. Exactly. And it's a real, almost like an Oakland A's lineup in the sense of they get on base and they've all played together. They got a, you know, I think this is probably their third year where the lineup's almost the same. So, you know, they're kind of close-knit and they'll probably show this year. And, you know, Terry Francona is a hell of a manager, one of the best in the MLB. Yeah. So, you know, they have all that on their side. But you did mention I think you mentioned it when you started talking. You do see them finishing behind Kansas City or ahead of them?
Behind Kansas City. I have them as my fourth team. But,
okay.
I mean, with that being said, them being my fourth team, honestly, there's four teams in this division that could finish with 500 or better records. So I'm not saying they're going to have a terrible year. And I think, you know, they'll surprise some people. Chicago is my surprise team, you know, making the playoffs and really having a huge improvement. I'm not saying that Cleveland's a terrible team or, you know, fourth place. It sounds bad. But really, you know, this Cleveland team could be 500 in fourth place because the AL Central is just such a dogfight.
Kansas City, let's talk about them because we both like them. We both had fun last year watching them play. That was the most fun I've had watching baseball in a while. What do you like about Kansas City? Because we both probably going to say the same thing. You know, they're
you
gritty
know,
and they're just a baseball team. I mean,
yeah. This team, I don't know how they really got to the World Series last year. It just seemed like every time somebody was on base, they were running, and they never gave up. They were just always fighting. If anybody watched the ALCS last year, I think it was the seventh inning, and they were down 7-2 and came back and won 8-7, correct? Wasn't it something like that?
That was the wild card game.
Yeah, the wild card game, not the ALCS.
And that
the wild
was,
card game.
That was probably the best baseball game I've ever watched.
Yeah.
Because remember, that
Royals,
was... And see,
Royals
and
A's.
It's a good thing you just brought that up because that is their biggest hole right there. Ned Yost.
Mm-hmm.
I am not really a big fan of Ned Yost. We all, if you watch the game, you remember he puts in Yordano Ventura, a rookie who has no... who doesn't need to be the first out the bullpen for James Shields. And he gets torched. Poor bastard gets just torched, looks terrible on the mound, looks shell-shocked. The kid's 21 years old, straight out of the Dominican Republic. He's throwing 100 miles per hour, you know, over the catcher's head, and Ned Yost keeps him in. And like you said, 7-2 is the result, but they somehow came back from that.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you, I do like this lineup, and Escobar and Gordon, the big thing that I have highlighted is how is Kendrys Morales going to do with this team? Because I like Hosmer, I like Salvador Perez, I like Moustakas, Omar Infante, you know what you're getting out of him, and then Lorenzo Cain in the non-hole, who I'm a huge fan of. I like this team. I like what they could do. So I'm big on the lineup. And then
Alex Rios,
too. Alex Rios, that's a pretty big addition for them. Then you get to the pitching rotation, and everything you were so excited about, you start to, you know, cringe at, you know. Ventura, he's got the stuff to be an ace. But after him, you're looking at Jason Vargas, Jeremy Guthrie, Danny Duffy, Volquez, and Medlin. I'd really like to see Medlin get into the starting rotation, probably ahead of Danny Duffy. But, I mean, this rotation just, I don't know what to expect from him. I don't know if the offense will be able to produce enough to go out and win games. And I think we agree on that, and that's why I have them with Cleveland battling for that middle of the pack spot in the AL Central.
Yeah, they're going to, and he's going to be up at some point. Brandon Finnegan, the guy who pitched in the College World Series and then 2 months later,
well, he was,
3 months later,
he
pitched
was,
in the World Series.
Yeah, he was up last year, so I mean, but isn't he a reliever guy? I don't think he's going to be in the starting rotation.
No, he is a starting he is a starting pitcher who they brought up last year they gave him the Chris Sale treatment. They let his first MLB appearances be out of the bullpen. But
okay.
In college he was a starting pitcher. You know, first round draft pick. He had some great stuff last year. You know, he in the minors he started a little bit. You know, he pitched, like you said, he pitched out of the bullpen. He was an eighth inning guy, seventh inning guy. Pitched 2 1/3 innings in the wild card game, gave up one run. Pitched in the ALDS, pitched in the World Series. Really young talent who I expect to see in the rotation at some point, along with Chris Metz. So, you know, don't count Kansas City out. I agree with you on that. Picking the Central is very hard to do.
Mm-hmm. To me, it was the toughest division to pick because every team I look at, I can pick a bright side and I can say I can see them winning the division. I mean, it's a possibility that two wild card teams may come from this division.
I wouldn't count it out. I wouldn't count it out at all. You know, Kansas City's big question is going to be, like you said, Kendrys Morales. Really, Kendrys Morales, Hosmer, and Salvador Perez. Hosmer's been on the cusp of breaking out. He hasn't really done anything too over the top since, you know, last year in the postseason he really broke out. He had 5 home runs in the postseason. You know, if him and Salvador Perez can step up, it's going to be a really good lineup. And we move to Minnesota. I mean, the only positive I can come from Minnesota, you know, is that their young guys are really, really good. You know, you have a really good young guy, and you really have two of them. You know, you have shortstop last year, Danny Santana, who hit 320 his rookie year last year. They're probably going to have him leading off this year. He's going to steal you 25-plus mm-hmm. bases. Danny Santana is a bright spot on this team. You know, followed by Brian Dozier, who doesn't really hit for average, but he walks a real lot. He's going to walk 80-plus times next year. He's going to score 90 runs. And then you get down, and it just gets interesting. Joe Mauer, who's just used to be the best hitter in the major leagues, and now he's just kind of still there. Corey Hunter, Kurt Suzuki. It's just the lineup is just so depleted. You know, I feel like they could put their farm teams together and make a better team. You know, Byron Buxton, Miguel Sanu, Danny Santana, Kenny Vargas. You know, they have a pretty good core. So, a pretty good core of young guys. So that's really the only bright spot I can say for Minnesota. They're going to finish 10 to 20 games below 500, in my opinion. Their pitching rotation doesn't really strike me as anything, you know, Phil Hughes, Irvin Santana. I don't know. You know, Irvin Santana doesn't resign with Atlanta because he wasn't getting run support, so he goes to Minnesota. It didn't really make sense to me. Ricky Nolasco, Kyle Gibson, who throws about 50 miles an hour. Tom Malone. I don't know what to say about Minnesota, except if you're a Minnesota fan and you're listening, your farm system's really good, and you guys are going to be a threat. You guys are going to be just like the Royals in maybe 3 to 4 years. Roscoe, anything?
I mean, besides, like you said, the farm system, I really have no desire to watch a Minnesota Twins game this year. I don't really see any bright spots on this team. And if you are a Minnesota Twins fan, just go in a cave for about 2-3 years. And then come out, because that's about the only chance you have of seeing your team win is 3 years down the road when those prospects get there.
They still got the Timberwolves and the Vikings. I mean, so.
Their best chance of seeing a winning team is in the fall, and it might not be the Vikings. They may have to go to a Golden Gophers game.
You know, honestly, and I mean, Honestly, if I had to say which Minnesota team, professional sports team, will bring that state on the next championship, I would honestly say the Twins. Because the Timberwolves are never going to win the West. I don't think the West is ever going to be won by anybody. I think the West is just always going to be a fight for who can finish in the top three. And the Vikings, I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is going to do much. So I give you hope, Twins fans. I give you hope.
I th- if I had to pick one, I think the Vikings.
The Vikings, okay.
Yeah, I would have to say the Vikings. Maybe
Teddy
we can talk about that
to...
after we finish the AL. Because we do have a few non-baseball topics possibly to speak of.
Moving over to the AL East, how do you see the AL East finishing? I'm curious if we got this one the same.
Number one, I have Baltimore. Number two, Boston. Number three, Toronto. Number four, Tampa. And number five, New York.
Wow, the Yankees. Number five. Poor Yankees. What happened to those poor guys?
I mean,
I have them finishing fifth as well. I'm just kind of agreeing with you on that because that's interesting. I mean, those poor Yankees, man. What happened? We are a little different. I have it going Boston number one, Toronto two, Baltimore three, Tampa, New York, Tampa, and then New York. The reason I have Baltimore so lower than you, the reason I have Baltimore three is just because I feel like their whole team was, like, just sucked away. I mean, Alejandro Diaza, Machado cannot stay healthy to save his life, which I hope he does. I really love watching Manny Machado play. Adam Jones, a bright spot as always. Chris Davis, I mean, he doesn't know what's going on. He's hurt, and then he had his peak year, and then that was it. Steve Pierce, J.J. Hardy, Travis Snyder, Caleb Joseph, Josh Swoop, Weeters when he comes back. I just don't see that team winning that division. Their lineup's too kind of all over the place. And then you get to the pitching rotation, and it confuses me even more. Chris Tillman, Wee-Yin Chin, Bud Norris, those three guys, I don't see them being below 340 ERAs. Miguel Gonzalez is always back and forth in his career, and Kevin Gausman's one of the top bright spots. But I just don't see it out of Baltimore. What do you see in Baltimore that makes you think they're going to win this division?
Well, first off, Baltimore is my surprise team.
Okay.
Because I feel like a lot of people this year are not giving them a chance, you know, because of Boston doing so much in the offseason and, you know, really just changing the whole landscape of the team, adding a lot in multiple places. But, I mean, I think Baltimore is going to surprise some people. I actually like their rotation. With Gausman, Tillman, Chin, and Norris, and Gonzalez. I like that. And then I think their lineup, I think it's a pretty solid lineup. I know Manny Machado's been hurt, but, I mean, if he's healthy, I mean, this guy could be, what, 25 home runs, 100 RBIs, you know? In this lineup, you have spots with power, speed, and then you have some with all-around talent. I know they lost Nelson Cruz, Markakis, and Miller. Really want to see how the addition of Travis Snyder works out for them. But I pretty much went with a surprise pick here, putting Baltimore number one because I am a fan of their lineup, and I do like their pitching rotation.
Yeah, I honestly don't see it. It's just gonna be how their pitching rotation works out, in my opinion. Last year, the pitching rotation didn't show up to the occasion. They lost Andrew Miller as well. Big part of their Jim Johnson is
Set up for
gone, which Jim didn't do too well over there anyway. But I mean, their bullpen is just depleted. I just don't see it. I do see Boston winning the division, like I said, just because I think the team is very, very complete. You're gonna wind up having, which in my opinion, I think Shane Victorino is gonna want. I do see Mookie Betts being traded. If not, you're gonna have a really good outfield, Rosney Castillo. Mookie Betts, possibly Shane Victorino, Hanley's got to be in left, Pablo, Dustin Pedroia, David Ortiz, Mike Napoli, Xander Bogaerts, prospect Christian Vasquez. Very good team. Their rotation, I really like Rick Porcello a lot. I think he's on the cusp. I was really close to having him as one of my breakout candidates in our fantasy show. So I like Porcello a lot. Wade Miley needs to have a bounce back year, which is going to be hard in this division. You got a lot of good right-handed hitters in this division. Clay Buchholz is just struggling. Masterson's a wild card. I think Joe Kelly's a real good, solid five starter. So I do see them contending in this division and being able to do something. What do you not like about Boston? Do you think they're too young? Do you think they just, what do you think?
Well, I'm gonna start off saying what I do like about them, and
Okay.
that's their lineup. Their lineup is incredibly deep, and I think they're gonna be my second wild card team. I don't know
Okay.
which order it's gonna be, but Boston and Chicago are my two wild card teams in the AL. With that said, and I do like the lineup. Huge fan of Kung Fu Panda, Hanley. Always been a big Poppy fan, and I really want to see what Rusty Castillo can do. However, Xander Bogaerts, don't really know what to expect from him. Not gonna sleep on him, just don't know what to expect. But the thing I do not like is the starting rotation. I am a fan of Rick Porcello, but like you said with Joe Kelly, he's a solid five starter. But the way I'm looking at this rotation, I'm gonna need him to be a two. And I don't know if that's gonna be good enough. If I was them, I would try and make a trade for Cole Hamels. I
I
don't
agree.
know if that's gonna happen. I mean, if I was in the front office for Boston, that's what I would do.
If I'm in Philadelphia,
Masterson,
I'd do it. I mean,
both sides would
Cole
benefit
Hamels.
from it.
Hamels doesn't want to be there, and he's gonna get to the point. Not to interrupt you, but it's gonna get to the point where Cole Hamels is gonna not want to pitch. I mean, he's already made that public. He doesn't want to be there at all. But that's
Didn't he
another story,
start
another day,
against
I guess.
The University of Tampa?
He hasn't. He hasn't. I mean, yeah, granted, we haven't done a show, but yes, the Philadelphia Phillies confirmed our beautiful talks of them last Thursday by losing to a college
Division
team
two.
that we haven't even heard of. I mean, like they did lose to a Division II college team.
But anyways, we can talk about that later. The Red Sox, I think, a few bounce back performances from their starting pitchers, Miley, Buchholz, Kelly, Porcello, that can be a quality group that can give that offense a chance to win because that offense is really going to be productive and put up a lot of numbers. They just need that pitcher rotation to give them a chance. I have them in the playoffs. wouldn't shock me if they won a division, but if there is one thing I don't like, it's the lack of quality starters.
I can agree with that, which is why they do need to make a move. You know, what do you what are your opinions on Toronto?
You know, I don't know what to expect from this team. Reyes, Martin, Batista, Encarnacion, Donaldson. Well, first of all, with Donaldson, he may hit 25 home runs. He may hit 215 as an average. I don't know what you're going to get from him. So now I'm looking at four guys, Reyes, Martin, Batista, and Encarnacion. Encarnacion has health issues. Jose Reyes is getting older. So now I found something wrong with them, too. And now I'm just looking at two guys. And I'm not even going down to the bottom of the order with Saunders, Smoke, Esturis, and Dalton Pompey. But I really don't know much about, so I won't really give him that much grief. But I'm not sold on their starting rotation, and then their starting lineup, and then their starting pitching. R.A. Dickey's still your ace. I mean, come on. Mark Burley's up there in age. They're not sure who they're going to have at the five. Marcus Stroman and Hutchinson is a four. This team just has a bunch of holes. I don't see them being 500, actually. I see three teams from the AL East finishing under 500.
I can see four teams finishing under 500, to be honest. But I have three, and I agree with you, except I just have Baltimore as that third team. Toronto's a wild card. If they don't get production from Hutchinson, Stroman, and Aaron Sanchez, which Aaron Sanchez in his debut today, four earned runs in an inning. If they don't get production out of those guys, those three young guys, they're in trouble. Burley and Dickey will be able to throw 200 innings apiece just because they're old and they throw 80 miles an hour, so they'll be able to go long into games. Those poor guys are going to struggle this year as well. I have them finishing second, but I don't even think they're going to get a wild card.
I have a question, not to interrupt, but what do you see better from them than Baltimore? Because, I mean, with me, I can see some bright spots with Baltimore, and I think you can too. But I think we're both lost on Toronto, so I want to know what you see from Toronto to put them ahead of Baltimore.
I see Baltimore having a better pitching rotation based off of Tillman and Gausman. Wee and Chin, Bud Norris, Miguel Gonzalez are wild cards for me. Toronto, their wild cards are their young guys. The thing about Toronto is their top five in their lineup is going to be their entire team. Jose Reyes, Russell Martin, Batista, Encarnacion, and Josh Donaldson, they actually do, I'd have to do the math on it, they get on base a lot. Those five guys do get on base somehow a lot. They all last year had over 40 walks apiece. You know, the lowest was 40, the highest was 90. Batista gets on base, you know, average about 40% of the time, which is phenomenal. It sounds low, but it's great, I promise. It's a 400 OBP. So I just think their top of the lineup is proven, and that top of the lineup is going to win them games. You know, honestly, though, when they get past Josh Donaldson, they're in trouble. The thing about Baltimore is, see it out of their top of the lineup, minus Adam Jones and Machado, if Machado could be healthy, I just don't see it. Alejandro Díaz gets on base, but he's nothing special. And he actually gets on base not a lot for a leadoff guy, surprisingly. Wieters has trouble getting on base. Chris Davis has been very confusing since he belted 50 home runs that year. Delman Young is possibly going to be a starter out there. I don't see the consistency enough, and I think Toronto is going to be held up by their top five guys. Reyes, Martin, Batista, Encarnacion, and Josh Donaldson are the Toronto Blue Jays. Justin Smoke isn't going to do much. Andy Dierks isn't. Miser Turris isn't. Dalton Pompey is a solid little prospect, but I don't see him doing enough to solidify something. They got Dayan Viciado, who had a few little surprise years in Chicago a few years ago, but I just see their top five really being their team.
Yeah, I mean, you see their top five being their team, and I think most of theirs is going to come, if Encarnacion stays healthy, the top four. I'm not a believer in Josh Donaldson, but I mean,
I do think he's an overrated hitter. Granted, he's very good with his plate discipline. You know, he's a great fantasy guy just because of his plate discipline. I mean, you know, you look into, you know, his career numbers, he's a .268 hitter, .350 OBP, which is, I mean, it's a little bit, it's not what you pay him for because they pay him a lot of money. But, you know, you look at last year, he got on base .350, hit .260. So, I mean, he's nothing special, but he gets on base. I mean, the guy gets on base, he'll score 90-plus runs, and that's really all you're looking for in a team. So, I mean, I think he's a good five-hole hitter, but I do agree with you. He's nothing special to me, if that's, you know, I guess where I'll get at. Now, do you want to talk about Tampa Bay and New York as a whole, or do we just want to light something on fire and put the mic to it and describe that as these teams, or what?
I mean, I think we can pretty much just sum it up as dumpster fire.
A rebuilding dumpster fire, maybe, I guess?
At least is going in the right direction, it seems like, for rebuilding. And I actually like some parts on Tampa's team. However, New York, it just seems like they're hoping they can buy everybody out once free agency comes along. And then, I mean, but is Chris Capuano a possible starter in New York's rotation?
New York? Yes, he is.
Okay, so
definitely a great look, guys, when Chris Capuano is going up against Toronto Blue Jays, definite Jose Bautista. Definitely beat street candidate. Definite. Anyone who Chris Capuano throws against beat street pick.
I don't see anything from these two teams that can possibly make them contenders or any, like, I'm really looking at it, and CC Sabathia may be the only good thing for New York.
No. Tanaka's nasty when he was healthy.
He
was disgusting. But he was disgusting, Roscoe. He scared me how good he was because I didn't like him. I didn't like the idea of this guy coming over from, I think, Japan, was it?
It was Japan.
Coming over here. He gets all of that money, and I hated him. He looked disgusting when he was healthy. Like, he really looked good. Remember, he was 13-5 with a 2.77. And in the ballpark, they call Yankee Stadium, which is basically like a T-ball ballpark.
What about the elbow? Is it healthy or?
Well, because remember that. It scared me because he put off surgery? Yes, because he's crazy. That's stupid. You can't do that.
That's why I can't say that's a bright spot. The man put off surgery. He's, what, 30-something years old? Because he's
26.
Not young. When these Japanese players come over,
he's 26. He's 26.
They're older in age. So, I mean, it's not like he's a 22-year-old rookie. I mean, I'm just finding spots to pick at this guy, and I feel bad because I'm not a major league ball player, of course, but I can find spots to pick, and, I mean, I don't know. And
he
then I don't know what CeCe,
is
going to give New York because he went out and gained 35 pounds and now weighs 305 pounds.
Put it this way. You have one pitcher who's 305, and you have another who was quoted last year who got a torn UCL, and he decided to get a PRP shot in his arm and then throw in another game 6 weeks later. So, Tanaka throws with a partially torn UCL, and you got CeCe sitting on the side eating food, gaining 35 pounds.
Yeah, eating pizza and cheeseburgers in the dugout in between his starting days. I mean, how are you supposed to pick this team to win?
You can't. I mean, Tanaka gets smart. I mean, I don't know if he's fully healthy. I'm going to have to look into it. I assume he is. I mean, I did not want to like him because his contract was a $160 million contract. He was good. I mean, he was very good. I'll have to see. But like you said, you really can't pick the team apart. The lineup is,
into the lineup because, I mean, it's injury-prone and old.
Injury-prone and old. That's a great
I mean,
way
am
to
I right?
It. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
I think I just hate the Yankees, and I'm just picking them apart right now, and I'm getting angry, and I'd rather, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Well, if you want to talk about Tampa,
this Yankees lineup.
If you want to talk about Tampa, they actually do have a very underrated pitching rotation.
Alex
Cobb, Drew
Smiley,
Chris Archer, Jake Odorizzi.
That guy.
Who's Joe Odorizzi, who's very good when he gets older. And then you got Matt Moore. So that's a good five. Jake Odorizzi is a solid number five pitcher. They actually have a solid rotation. It's just they're not going to have a good offense to help them. You know. They got some good young guys. Steven Souza, Nick Franklin, they got from Seattle. He's going to be pretty good when he's older, but just they're rebuilding.
I want to see how Kevin Kiermaier does this year.
Kevin, did he get called up last year or is he older? I don't know much about Kevin Kiermaier.
He's a young guy. He should be starting, if I had to guess, and right come opening day.
I don't know who else would start.
Exactly. But, I mean, this rotation's really underrated. And at least with this team, I can see a bright spot or two, unlike the Yankees.
I mean, the only bright spot, I'll end the Yankees here, is the only bright spot I see in New York is the possibility of Tanaka being healthy and Dylan Betances, their closer. That's the only two bright spots I see. In Tampa, their bright spot is their whole rotation. If Matt Moore gets healthy, and then Steven Souza, Kiermaier, and Nick Franklin. But they're both not going to compete. If you want to put money down on a bad team, put them on them, but they're not going to win anything. You said your two wild cards are going to be who?
Chicago. Both Sox.
Okay, good. We'll definitely, our next episode Thursday, we'll talk player awards and our postseason predictions so we can go back on those in October, November. That about wraps up our AL preview, and, you know, we are in between the lines, so we're obligated to talk some things. First thoughts, are you shocked? What's up? LeSean McCoy to Buffalo, what's going on? What's going through your head with that?
Well, I go to sit down, eat some dinner. We got ESPN on in the living room, and on the screen pops up LeSean McCoy traded for Kiko Alonso, and I'm just like, what? I mean, I can understand the move for Philadelphia, kind of, because
I can.
They have cap room
definitely
issues. All right. They get a linebacker when their linebacking core was the worst in the NFL. So it's not like they get nothing. And they actually get a really good young linebacker who's coming off an injury, but he was good when he played his rookie season. So there is bright side. With this being said, I can see how Eagles fans are upset about trading him because it is LeSean McCoy. I think I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the Eagles now try to get a guy like Amir Abdullah, who I'm a big fan of. Maybe Melvin Gordon. But I think the Bills won the trade. For them to bring in LeSean McCoy when they were most likely going to lose C.J. Spiller, and now it's all but certain that C.J. Spiller is gone. So that's that. And I mean, was I shocked by it? Yes, who wouldn't be? So, I mean, I can see where both teams wanted to make the deal. I'm kind of interested to know who proposed the trade.
I mean, you look at Kiko Alonso, he was under Chip Kelly in Oregon.
At Oregon.
So that really makes a lot of sense. Good young talent. LeSean McCoy, $15 million. That's a lot of money. Plus, you look at where you look at the upcoming draft. Do you know where the Eagles are picking?
I think they're picking at 17 or 18.
I mean, I'd have to look into their second round picks, but this just sets them up. I think their plan is get rid of LeSean McCoy, save some cap room, get a good linebacker whose schedule will make $750K next year, and go for a running back in this draft.
They're gonna re-sign Macklin with the money they saved.
Hopefully.
And
you don't think
they're gonna be able to re-sign Macklin?
Well, they didn't franchise tag him. I mean, money is a powerful thing, Roscoe. That's all I'm saying. A team could offer Macklin a lot of money.
But they freed up this $15 million, and they also freed up money by releasing Trent Cole. I think this now makes it more available to re-sign Jeremy Macklin.
No, it does. I agree with you, but I'm just saying Macklin's going to get some offers. I mean, it's a possibility that he could be going somewhere.
What do you think he's worth per year?
I'm not too hot on the NFL salaries. Probably say, I'm thinking of someone to compare him to tell you what Jeremy Macklin's worth. He's worth a... He's worth however much Vincent Jackson's getting paid. In my opinion. There you go. Vincent Jackson will be getting in 2015, he'll be getting $10 million a year. So
okay.
I think that's appropriate for Jeremy Macklin.
If Vincent Jackson's getting $10 million, and I agree, that's where about I had Macklin making his money. I'd say at the most he's worth $12 million. And if they freed up $15 million, there's no way they shouldn't be able to keep him.
We'll have to wait and see. NFL free agency opens up next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Did you like the franchise tag decisions?
I was pretty shocked that that the Lions didn't franchise tag Sue.
I knew that wasn't coming.
I feel like since they didn't tag him, he must be getting re-signed now because I really can't see Detroit letting him walk. I don't know why it is, but I just don't see it.
Here you go. Demaryius Thomas was franchise tagged at $12.8 million. You said Macklin's worth 12. Just a little food for thought, which I didn't realize either.
No.
Macklin makes $12 million.
I'm not saying he's worth 12. I'm saying the most I would give him is 12.
Well, I mean,
I'm gonna give
someone what the money they're worth, and Jeremy Macklin would be the fifth highest paid receiver in the NFL. And I don't know if I agree with that.
I mean, the only reason that is because some guys are still on rookie contracts, correct? Talking about Julio Jones and AJ Green, have they gotten extensions yet?
Who's old? AJ Green's older than Julio.
No, they came out the same age.
They did?
I'm pretty sure. I know they were from the same recruiting class. I'm pretty sure they came out the same draft class.
AJ Green is 26. He can't be on a rookie contract still. There's no way. I'm just curious. Bear with me, people. I wish I knew NFL contracts like I do baseball or basketball. AJ Green. Oh, my Lord. AJ Green's getting paid $11 million next year.
Okay.
Which is still, with Andy Dalton as your quarterback, I mean.
Let's pay Andy Dalton $100 million. All right.
Yeah.
But
that makes
let's only pay our franchise wide receiver $11 million.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
And I think that's where I'm gonna stop at with football today. That just blows my mind. You're paying a quarterback $20 million who hasn't won a playoff game, hasn't done a thing, but your all-star wide receiver who's the only reason he actually looks good at times is only making $11 million. Makes sense.
And you gotta remember the franchise tag, I believe that's only if the franchise tag is signed.
Well, I think what the franchise tag does, it makes them a restricted free agent. So they can make an offer.
It's the NFL. It's the NFL version of a franchise tag. I mean, it's the NFL version of a restricted free agent.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. With that, they can,
Because I read...
Match the contract.
I read rumors that if he doesn't stay with Denver, Miami wants to make a huge play on Demaryius. Lose Mike Wallace, gain Demaryius Thomas, which would be interesting. That would be interesting to see.
Which, I mean, now you have... Jarvis Landry with Demaryius Thomas if that happens, and that's pretty sick.
Go from there. So, correct. Do you like the Josh McCown signing?
Actually, I'm not terribly upset with it.
Why are you? Oh man, 33 years old, Roscoe.
Listen, they could have done worse. They could have done worse. That's the only thing I can say.
2015 orange will be worn by Josh McCown.
All right. How about this? I got a question for you. How many starting quarterbacks does Cleveland have throughout the 2015 season?
Two. Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel.
I'm saying four.
Because...
And I can give you three of the names right now. Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel, Connor Shaw, and then come week 17 when Connor Shaw, like, gets hurt, they'll sign, like, Tyler Thigpen, Rex Grossman, or somebody to finish the last game. And that will
Luke
be a Browns 2015 season, and you've heard it
Luke
here first.
McCown. Well,
by the way,
Luke
McCown has played for Cleveland, and he's 0-4. He has a wonderful record.
I just it's just a very interesting signing for me. I feel like they they didn't sign him yet, right? They just agreed to terms.
They agreed to terms. The signing will be processed once the new NFL calendar year opens. But I mean, this now just means Hoyer. Thanks for your two years, and you had the best record of any quarterback since the Browns have been reestablished into the NFL. But go ahead, man. I mean, pretty much Brian Hoyer is getting treated like Brian Drew was in draft day.
Wow. Oh, okay. Bold statement. Rest in peace, Brian Drew. Except they started Brian Drew. Remember that? They had faith in him.
Yeah, but
I just find it interesting. I just found it interesting that they like. I feel like they. I feel like
you'll
they
never
just
understand
kinda,
that organization.
I just feel like they gave up. I feel like they were just like, "Oh, Josh McCown, sure, let's sign him." Because honestly, they could have went. They could have tried looking at other people, and I think McCown would have still been there. Honestly,
well, they could have re-signed Hoyer, but they wanted McCown, which I don't understand.
I honestly don't. Buffalo got bailed out. You know, I think Buffalo is going to wind up just going with EJ Manuel. But another time, another show. Next Tuesday, the ACC tournament, the Big 12 tournament starts for college basketball. So that's going to be fun. Plus, NFL free agency opens up. So next Tuesday, we'll delve into all of that. Thursday. We'll finish up our baseball series, talk about how Chris Bryant will win the NL MVP, and that's about it.
Agreeable? Man. Give him NL Rookie of the Year.
NL Rookie of the Year. I give him Rookie of the Year and NL MVP, and I give Comeback Player of the Year to Edwin Jackson.
All right, listen. I don't think we can talk baseball anymore due to the previous statements. We'll start talking about hockey and, you know, women's soccer and stuff like that.
Last word to the show is get better, Patrick Kane. Go Blackhawks. See you guys Thursday.